We've got several who are not here today, and we just have to assume they're not feeling good. We know about some, but there's others we don't know about, so we can probably check on them. Praise the Lord. I mean, how many times have you heard that in your life? You heard it a lot. In fact, you go through the Bible, you read it a lot too. I mean, there's a lot of times in the scriptures where it says, praise the Lord. And the thing is, do we do this as much as we should? Do we praise Him as much as we should? And of course, I think if we were all honest, we would all have to admit, not enough. All right. While we should be giving God praise all the time, we sometimes avoid using this term. Yeah, we praise God, we come to worship God, but we kind of shy away from that word, from those words, praise the Lord. Now, why do we do that? The term is overused by many people who have rejected God's word. If you've ever done some channel surfing, you're going to come across one of these shows like... I don't even remember what they're called nowadays. I don't watch them at all. But I remember years ago they had Jim and Tammy Baker. You remember them? Yeah, they went to prison for misusing the money they got. But they had this show, and about everything that Tammy said always had, praise the Lord. I can't even use that squeaky voice she had. But anyway... she said, praise the Lord. I mean, they'd interview people, and as the person was talking about, yeah, I was flying the plane, and the engine's cut out. Praise the Lord. I mean, and just in the background, every other phrase that the guy said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, just kept going on and on and on. And we see so many people use that phrase, it almost becomes, what's the point of their saying it? Because it's just an expression. Like, oh my stars, or as they use nowadays, OMG, you know what that means. And so it's just an expression so that they use. And because some of these false teachers use that phrase so much, we don't want to give anybody the impression that we're of that same ilk. We're of that same kind of person. We believe the same way they do. So we want to avoid that, and we kind of shy away from it. But as Christians, we should not be afraid to say, praise the Lord. Because the Bible is full of those words, and we need to do that. So, like I say, we try and avoid by using those words, but the Bible teaches us we should be praising God in everything we do. And that's where the problem comes out, because we don't focus our minds on this as we should. We don't focus our mind as everything we're doing, how am I praising God? And that's what we need to look at. How am I praising God by my every action, by my every thought, by my every word? And so we need to examine that and find out that yes, we can praise the Lord over and over again. In fact, we should be doing that all the day, every day. See, the word praise comes from the Hebrew word halal. You've probably seen that phrase written in certain Afghan stores where all meat is halal. In other words, it's not a cleanliness process. It's just acknowledging Allah, their deity, in doing this. So they have to take whatever they're going to butcher, whether it's a cow, a sheep, a goat. I mean, they have to face it towards Mecca, towards the east, and then they slit its throat and they say halal, and that makes it legal to eat. Now, there's some things they don't eat. They don't, like the Jews, they don't eat pork, so they can't touch pork. So that's the word praise comes from the word halal, and it means to be bright, to shine, to be splendid, to boast, to praise, to celebrate, to glorify, to cause to shine, to make bright, to give light, to deserve praise. I mean, all of these concepts are in that word halal, and so exactly what interpretation is used is dependent upon the context. So radiance and brilliance are also associated with this word. When we talk about praise the Lord, I mean, it's kind of like we want to hire Steven Spielberg to give us a nice set where it has all the lights and the music and everything going on behind it, because it's really, we want to make it just as great and fantastic as we can. And sometimes we might need help from Hollywood just to imagine that in our mind. But we still, whether we use Steven Spielberg or Cecil B. DeMille or whoever, we've got to be thinking how great God is and give Him praise. And the reason we are to praise God is because we consider Him totally awesome. If you never considered God in that light, you need to adjust your thinking. Because our God is awesome. They have a song, "Our God is an Awesome God." The denominations sing that quite a bit. We don't, because there's a few phrases in there. It kind of leaves the wrong idea about how one can come into a relationship with God. But anyway, He is an awesome God, and we must consider Him that way. So when we look at the phrase, praise the Lord, and we read it in Scripture, we find there's a lot of things, there's more things associated with praising the Lord than just speaking with our lips. There's other things that go along with it. So when we read Psalm 7:17, "I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." In other words, we praise Him, sing praises to His name. Why? Because of His righteousness. What He has taught us it takes to be righteous, that's what we need to be doing. That's how we can praise the Lord, is through our righteousness. Not the righteousness we've conceived in our own mind, but the righteousness that comes from God. What God has told us to do. In Psalm 9, verse 1, "I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works." Our whole heart has to be in there. We could probably make a whole sermon out of the phrase, "your whole heart," and what you do with the whole heart, and what the heart is as far as the Scriptures are concerned. And we know in the passages say, "Seek the Lord with your whole heart. Serve the Lord with your whole heart." In other words, pour everything you've got into it. That's what it means. I will praise You, God, with everything I have. And what else will I do? I will tell of all Your marvelous works. Now, who do you tell it to? That's a question you got to ask yourself. Who do I tell it to? Do I tell about God to the congregation? Well, yes, we're supposed to do that. But we tell of God to our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. I mean, can you honestly say this passage, "I will tell of all Your marvelous works," and then keep your mouth shut? That doesn't make much sense, does it? In Psalm 9 and verse 2, "I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High." I mean, this indicates, verse 1 and 2 indicates a familiar relationship that these people have. David speaking here, he had a relationship with God. God considered a David as a man after God's own heart. David had a humble enough heart to recognize that he wasn't God. There was a God. And so he had a relationship with this God. And he humbled himself before that God. And in God, we can rejoice, because in God we have the blessings. But outside of God, there are no blessings. So when we are blessed, we should be happy. When we're happy, we should sing praise to His name, as we've done this morning. We give praise to Almighty God. And this should not be just something limited to our assembly worship. We should be giving praise to God all the time and singing praise to God in our hearts and in our minds. And with our voices. In Psalm 21, verse 13, "Be exalted, O Lord, in Your own strength. We will sing and praise Your power." When you consider how great and powerful God is, I mean, shouldn't you praise Him for it? We should. He is more powerful than anything this earth has to offer. He just spoke the words and the earth came into existence. I mean, can you imagine someone with an invention idea in their head just speaking the words and all of a sudden it appears? No, it takes work. They got to build it. They got to manufacture it. They've got to engineer it. They've got to design it. Not necessarily in that order either, but they've got to get it done. And then maybe it will work and maybe it will accomplish what they want. But the Lord has strength. He has power. He has the power to protect us from the forces of evil. He has the power to protect us from Satan. And He does. We just don't recognize it as we should. Then Psalm 22 and verse 22. The writer says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. And that's what we should do. Whether we are the preacher, whether we're the song leader, whether we're saying in prayer, whether we are just a member sitting in the pew, we will declare the name of the Lord to our brethren. That's what we're supposed to do. We speak to our brethren. We get comfortable talking about God, how we should praise the Lord. We get comfortable talking to them, and that will help us when we get ready to go into the world and teach them. It will help us do that. That's why we are so important to each other. You may not be the preacher, but you can be there to encourage not only the preacher, but everyone else. We all have our roles. Psalm 20, verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all you offspring of Israel. To the whole assembly of Israel, all of the Jewish nation, all the Abraham seed, praise the Lord. Give Him the praise that is due. And yes, we should be doing that. We should be doing that, and it should not be limited to the church building. In verse 26, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. See, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, but he that believeth in God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Yes, those people who diligently seek the Lord, what are they going to do? They're going to find out what the Lord wants them to do and do it. It's just that simple. A lot of people want to seek the Lord, but leave the Bible out of it. They don't want to do that. Oh, Lord, come find me. You know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be at the bar on 7th and 18th Street. I'm going to be down there. You can come find me when you're ready. Or you find someone who opens up their Bible and says, Lord, speak to me. And definitely He is. He will. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. That's right. Sing praise to the Lord, which we do. All right, Psalm 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. That's right. Now, David here is talking about his own glory. Yes, that's what he was the king. He should be have his own place of glory as the king, but he also recognized God put him in that position. And so, because you have given me glory, I will give you glory. Now, another person said something along the same line. Remember Jesus when praying in John 17. He says, now I have glorified you, now you glorify me. And so, and we know, Jesus is glorified right now. He's sitting at the right hand of God in the presence of God. And He is there, and He is God. So Psalm 33, 1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. That's right. Praise from the upright is beautiful to God. He loves it. He just bathes Himself in it. Remember what it says about the wicked? Even his prayer is an abomination to the Lord. So if you're wicked, doesn't do any good to praise the Lord. It doesn't do any good to say that. It's not going to affect you one bit. It's not going to help you one bit. Only the righteous have the right to say this. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do we do that? Honestly, we don't. We talk about a lot of things when we get together after services are over. We might talk about the weather. We might talk about the ball games that are about to come on, or the ones that were played yesterday or the day before. We might talk about maybe politics, or we might talk about a lot of things. But how often do we praise the Lord in our everyday conversation? Not as much as we should. So when we say his praise shall continually be in my mouth, when is continually? It's all the time. I mean, that's what this writer, Psalm 34, had. I mean, I will constantly do this. Shouldn't that serve as an example for us? That's what 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 through 11 says. You look to their example. Psalm 35, 18. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Wherever we may be, we're going to give praise to God. But there's a sense in which everyone is going to do the same thing. Because there is a day coming when the Lord will judge men in righteousness through the one whom he furnished proof by raising him from the dead. And that one being Jesus Christ. And we remember the scene as Matthew 25, as Jesus said, you know, everybody's going to show up, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left, everybody's going to be there. You go to Revelation chapter 20, and you read about the great judgment scene, the death in Hades will give up the dead that are in them, the sea will give up the dead in them, and all will be there in that great assembly. And books will be opened. And everyone who is judged, without question, every one of them will bow before the Lord and say, Jesus is Lord. Every one of them. Even those who are condemned to eternal damnation. This will be the last thing on their lips before they're sent into that place. Jesus is Lord. In Psalm 35, 28, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Like I say, we don't talk about the Lord enough to the people we're talking to. I mean, God is good. God blesses us. And sometimes we realize it, sometimes we just take it for granted. But God is blessing us. And we should give him praise for that. Psalm 42, 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I mean, there's times we get down. There's times we start feeling sorry for ourselves. Sometimes it might be because of our health. It might be because of family situations. It might be because of the workplace. We might have just lost our job. We get down. Oh my soul, what am I going to do? And we forget about the fact that there is a God. It doesn't matter what we're going to do, what's going to happen. We're still going to praise God. And he is going to help us. And when we do, our countenance is lifted up. We're not walking around with a sad face. You know, you've seen these people walk around, woe is me, nobody likes me. You know, ER complex. But nobody likes me. God does. And we should never forget that. Psalm 45, 17, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. writer wrote this down expecting others to learn from it. That's why in Psalm 45, the heading is to the music director. Yeah, why? Put this into music, put it out there for everybody to read, for everybody to learn from. It's what they call a maskil. And you'll see that word many times in the Psalms, a maskil, a training instruction. It's kind of like an instruction video. Nowadays, when you want to do something, you just go to Google and you Google it, and it gives you a video showing you how to do something. Years ago, they didn't have that. You had to look it up in the Chilton's manual to fix a car, or you had to get somebody who knew what they were doing to do it. Now you just watch the video and you pretty much learn how to do something. But what we should be doing, each and every one of us, is making sure that the people we leave behind will remember what it's all about. And so we're going to help other generations. We're going to do that in different ways. However we can, whether it's by raising up a godly family or whether it's by instructing Christians in other ways. But whatever the case, we've got to praise God forever and ever. Psalm 48 verse 10, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. We recognize God is full of righteousness. That's what he is. He is righteous. He is righteous. He is faithful. He is good. He is strong. He is also consuming. And he is our judge. Praise him every chance you get, everywhere you go. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. This is one of those few psalms which basically kind of lets God do the speaking. The writer writes it as if God is doing the speaking. And this is God's response to a question offered to him. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. That's right. How do you glorify God? We read we're supposed to let our light shine so those who can glorify him in all things, that God may be glorified, 1 Peter 4:11. So how do we glorify him? Well, we know one, yes, obedience glorifies him, but praising him glorifies him as also. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation. Whoever behaves himself, whoever walks in the ways of God, he's going to show them the salvation of God. Psalm 51:15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. That's right. Let me declare, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you what God has done for me. And that's what he was saying. Lord, allow me to tell other people about you. You know, there's a lot of preachers feel that way. As long as we live, we want to make sure that we share this information with others. In Psalm 63 and verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. What is our life compared to our soul? Our life is but a vapor. It's just here for a little while. How we live in this life will determine where our soul ends up. And God has shown his loving kindness to us. And how do we respond? Well, a lot of people just kind of ignore them or take it for granted. Other people appreciate what God has done for them, and their actions reflect that. Psalm 66 and verse 2, sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. You know, it's one thing just to say, praise the Lord. But we need to do so in a way which makes it really glorious. Praise the Lord. I mean, just whatever voice inflection you want to use, we've got to make his praise glorious. And of course, when we come together to worship, we are praising him. You know, some people kind of think, man, it's kind of dead in here. Kind of rigor mortis has set in for a lot of you people. And when you go to a black congregation, you'll hear a lot of amen, sing it, brother, tell it, brother, and so forth. You'll hear a lot of, they get a little bit more vocal in some of those congregations. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, I know when I'm preaching, someone starts saying amen, that just kind of fires me up. I guess I move with the Spirit, as Byron says. Yeah, I just move with the Spirit. But anyway, yeah, I can get animated too if I have all that support behind me. Make his praise glorious. Psalm 69:34. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. Let the whole creation praise the Lord. See, in Psalm 99:3, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. See, a lot of people say, what is the name of God? Well, God gives that name in several places. One place in Exodus, what is the name of the God? I am. I mean, that's the name God said to tell the people. When they ask you what my name is, tell them, I am. And then the name of our God, he is holy. Yes, he is just, he is holy, he is righteous, he is good. And we see that. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Is that the attitude we have when we come to church? You know, with some people it just kind of appears, well, I gotta go to church again, Sunday morning, gotta get dressed and go. And there's really no excitement about it. It's just something that we do. That's how some people behave. They act. And believe it or not, that projects and other people see it. Are you happy to be here? Why isn't there a smile on your face? Come on, put that smile on your face. We're happy to be here, right? We're here in the greatest place in this whole valley, a place where God's people are together. We should be thankful for that. Yes. This will be written for the generations to come, Psalm 102 verse 18, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. We're to be doing these things. Now, the writer here, he wrote it down, and the Holy Spirit has brought it forth to generation after generation after generation, because his word does not change. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be right, and it's going to be righteous. And anybody who wants to seek the Lord can find it through his word. Psalm 104 verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as we have a cognitive mind, if we don't lose our mind, if we don't have those diseases of dementia and Alzheimer's, as long as we got a sound mind, we should be praising the Lord. There are many Old Testament passages that call us to praise the Lord. As we realize, we learn from the scriptures written aforetime, which we read in Romans 15:4, we today also have a duty to praise the Lord in our lives, in our speech, in our singing. We have that. This just didn't apply to those people of the Old Testament. Even though the passages we read were from the book of Psalms, a lot of those psalms are just universal truths. There's just no question about it. And they apply to us just as much as they did the people of the old. Now, what about New Testament praise? Praising the Lord in the New Testament. We'll read a few passages there. There are two Greek words translated praise. First of all, aneo, which means to give praise to God. And then there's a anesis, which means the act of praise. Now, on a lower level, praise is given to humans as compliments or accolades, and not as one becoming of a god, but of a good person. You do something good, someone praises you. Your children do something good. What do? That was a good job. I mean, they draw a picture. I mean, you can't tell what it is. Oh, but that's a good picture. You give them praise for it. And what does that motivate them to do? Do more and more. And fill your refrigerator up with using the magnets. Fill it up with all these pictures. That somebody else comes in. Man, what is that? I think some sort of crazy wild art or something. But still, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about. We praise people for doing something good. Sometimes someone does a good thing and we tell them you did a good job. I mean, that is praise for their efforts, for their actions. Sometimes it may not be that good of a job, but at least we made the effort. And we praise people for that as well. That's on the lower level. That's the anesis, the means of active giving praise. But then when we think on a spiritual level, the word carries several different meanings in the New Testament. We're going to see how it is used here. In John 12:43, talking about the people, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Remember, Jesus gave them an opportunity to believe him, and they would not acknowledge. The scripture says, and many believed on Jesus, but would not confess his name. Why? Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's what they did. That's how they rejected Jesus. They were looking for the praise of men. Jesus warned about all the Pharisees who stood in the marketplace looking and letting everybody know how great and how spiritual they were. He said they have their praise, the praise of men. In 1 Corinthians 11:2, Paul's writing, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. And he says he's commending them for taking what he said and learning to apply it to themselves. Now, the chapter just before this, they were doing something wrong with the Lord's Supper. He says, shall I praise you in this? I will not praise you for this. Actually, that's later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about the Lord's Supper and their abuse of the Lord's Supper. He said, I'm not going to praise you for that. You're doing it wrong. See, Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise and the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved being Christ. He made us accepted in Christ. We are in Christ. Why? It is because of the glory of his grace. God's grace is glorious when you think about it. Ephesians 1 verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. When we who obey Christ and obey the gospel and are baptized into Christ, we are the praise of his glory. We are the ones whom he commends, whom he gives us an attaboy with, who pats us on the back and encourages us. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Here it is in the New Testament. We should be doing it continually. Revelation 19:5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. Yes, we should be praising God all the time. Now, why should we praise God? It's not hard to figure out. Because he is God. Because he is good. Because of his goodness. Because he deserves our praise. Because of his justice. Because of his love. Now, how do we praise God? Once again, it's not rocket science. We praise God with our mouth. We praise God with our singing. We praise God with our devotion. We praise God with our obedience. We praise God with our minds and with our hearts, which really, technically, in biblical sense, they're one and the same. And we should praise God with every fiber of our being. Everything we've got should be to the praise and glory of God with our whole life. Do we praise God as we should? Each of you is going to have to answer that question, but I'm going to say no. We're not quite there, but we need to work on that. And we will work on that. Each of us must answer that question themselves. Maybe you praise God privately. That's good. That's good. But do you praise God publicly? Maybe you're okay with it in church. But do you do it outside of church, where you know you're open to ridicule and persecution? Do you constantly praise Him? The Bible kind of tells us, kind of indicates, and there's no kind of about it. The Bible tells us specifically for us to praise God and praise the Lord over and over in everything that we do. Our first act of praise, acknowledging God, giving Him the glory, and then obedient to His word. If you need to get your life right, you know what you've done to become a child of God, which everybody in here has. Are you living right? Are you living? Is your life one of praise towards God? Does your life cause others to praise God? If it doesn't, if you're lacking somewhere, you need to get busy and start improving that. Because that's the only way you're going to go to heaven. When you praise the Lord, that's the only way you're going to go to heaven. You'll be accepted of Him, and He will accept that. So whatever your case might be, if you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.